by the grace of God, I want to continue to preach in your hearing, learning from the examples of our Jewish brethren. And whether you like it or not, they form the foundation of our Christian faith. For through the man, the great man that I'm getting ready to read about, came Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Abraham is somebody. And he helps us to keep hope alive, even in the New Testament family. How to hope. I didn't say how to have hope, but how to hope. How to keep hope alive. Lessons from the Jews and their messianic expectation, part 4. Verse 1 reads in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, by the way, straightforwardly, get thee out of thy country. You've got to go. And from thy kindred, from mom and them, grandmom and them, and from thy father's house, you have to leave your daddy and them, unto a land that I will show thee. I'm not going to tell you where the land is right now. You just do what I tell you. Right now, I just want you to start stepping. Just get to stepping, get to moving. Unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. Some of you folks want to be made great. You want to be great. Nobody's made great unless God makes you great. You know why Zion is a great basketball player? Because God made him great. I just thought I'd throw that in there. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee. And watch this, and make thy name great. One of the greatest names in the world is Abraham. And thou shalt be a blessing. And some theologians say that phrase right there is rendered differently in the Hebrew. And that God basically told Abraham, when I do this, be a blessing. I want you to be a blessing. And thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for a part of the worship time, singing and praying, but this is a part of the worship time as well, hearing from your holy word. Thank you for allowing us to get here and to get to this point. And by the power of your Holy Spirit, break it down for the people to understand how that prophecy is rooted in the Old Testament. And we can learn from the saints of old how to look for the Messiah and how to wait. For some of us have a problem in waiting. We don't like to wait for anything. And so therefore we don't know how, many of us don't know how to hope. And so Lord, help us to learn how to hope from our friends, the saints of old, the Hebrews, the Jews, the Israelites, the people, the foundation of our Christian faith. We thank you, Lord, for Abraham, your servant. Help us to learn from him and them on how to hope and how to wait on you and to look to you and for you for the second coming of Christ. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. You may be seated. By the grace of God, I want to preach in your hearing in spite of the devil, because the devil hates the preaching of God's word, and he hates the preaching of the gospel. How to hope. Not how to have hope, but how to hope. How to live a life of hope. How to patiently wait on the Lord. Jesus said he's coming back, and he will. Lessons from the Jews and their messianic expectation, part 4. Now, by way of foundation laying, you know I love to do this. My oldest son, Daniel White, the 4th, does not like to lay the foundation well, but I do, because it is very important. Being a young buck, he likes to dive right in, but I like to help you to understand the foundations of things. So I have to correct him when he's trying to help me put these messages together. So by way of introduction, editors Dr. John Walford and Dr. Roy Zuck of the Bible Knowledge Commentary said about this pivotal passage: in this narrative, the direction of the book of Genesis changes dramatically. This passage records how God called Abram out of a pagan world system and made astounding promises to him, promises that later became part of the formal Abrahamic covenant. The passage also points up the faith of Abraham and teaches that faith, get this please, because we have many Christians who claim to be children of Abraham. And if you are a child of Abraham, that means that you are a child of faith. You believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, in the God of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But I want you to understand what they're pointing out here, and that is faith obeys God. Can somebody say amen? See, people talk about I have faith, but they don't obey what God tells them to do. If you don't obey what God tells you to do, you don't have faith. Not only that, you don't love God. You're a liar. Abram was middle-aged. We all know what that means. He was settled. He's already lived much of his life. He was prosperous, settled, and thoroughly pagan. Like everybody else. The word of the Lord came to him, though it is not known exactly how that happened. We were not there. But the word of the Lord was clear to him. And he responded by faith and obediently left everything to follow God's plan. Abraham was a special man of faith. in God. And that is why he is the epitome of faith in the Bible. The religio-historical point of the passage certainly is the call of Abram to found a new nation. Israel would learn by this that her very existence, was God's work through a man who responded by faith and left for Canaan. It would be a message to convince Israel of the divine call they were facing and their need of faith for their move from Egypt to Canaan land. Verses 1 through 3 record God's call to Abram, and verses 4 through 9 records Abram's obedience. God's call to faith, and then God's call to Abram for obedience. The call had two imperatives, each with subsequent promises. The first imperative was to get out. And the second imperative was to be a blessing. This was the first get out movie, if you will. And God, as you see in the passage, was just very straightforward. He didn't explain anything, didn't give any background, just said, son, get out. I'm going to have to pull you out of here. And see, I believe one of the reasons is that God understands better than we do. And Jesus dealt with the same issue. Sometimes if you're going to do something great for the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, you got to get out from your pagan, unbelieving family members, because they'll pull you down like crabs. You've got to move. His leaving started a chain of reactions and of events. That's how faith works. If Abram would get out of Ur, God would do three things for him so that he could then be a blessing in the land. And he had to be that blessing so that God would do three more things for him. The symmetry should not be missed, for it strengthens the meaning. Abram's calling had a purpose. It had an aim. It had a goal. His obedience would bring great blessing. And it has, hasn't it? By the way, there are the three major religions of the world recognize Abraham: Judaism, Christianity, and even Islam recognizes Abraham as the first man of, or the man of faith that he was. The father of faith, as some call him. Three promises were based on God's call for Abram to leave his land: a great nation, a blessing for Abram, and a great name. And God gave him all of that. These promises would enable him to be a blessing. Based on this obedience were God's three promises: to bless those who blessed him, curse anyone who cursed him or would treat him lightly, and bless the families of the earth through him. Now, only God, beloved, can put something together like that. And that's exactly what has happened. My Gentile, my wicked, evil, ungodly, pagan Gentile family has been blessed because of Abraham's faithfulness and faith. Because through Abraham came Jesus today. And I cannot even begin to tell you the millions of blessings that God has bestowed upon our unworthy family. I can't begin to tell you what the God of Abraham has done for me and for my family. To bless or curse Abram was to bless or curse Abram's God. Unfortunately, God often had to use other nations to discipline his people, because far from being a blessing to the world at times, they were usually disobedient, just like us. The third promise takes on its greatest fulfillment in the fact that Jesus Christ became the means. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, became the means of blessing to the entire world. And he's coming back. And what a blessing Jesus has been to the world. He changed the whole world. The only man to split time in half. The world has never been the same since Jesus came. Amen, somebody. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I ask you today, do you know him? Are you ready for the second coming? Are you ready for the rapture of the church? Have you been born again? I'm just laying the foundation. We're going to be here a while. Have you trusted Christ as Savior? If not, allow me to share with you today how you can trust Christ as your Savior so that you will not get left behind. And to you who are believers, keep hope alive. Be patient and wait on the Lord like the Jews did. Not all of them, but those who did, by faith, look for the Messiah. God always has his 7,000. God always has his remnant. Don't quit on God. Endure until the end. Have faith in God. Wait on God. Wait on the Messiah. Keep hope alive. Don't allow the devil to get you depressed, defeated, and disgusted. Keep hope alive. And for those of you who don't know Jesus Christ yet, he is coming back again, and he could come back in the rapture today, what we call the rapture. Here's how you can place your faith and trust in him for your soul's salvation from the consequences of sin, which is eternal hell. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We die because of sin. We have funeral homes and graveyards because of sin. Does that make any sense to you? The wages of sin is death. Our soul goes to spend eternity in a place of death called hell. Our bodies go to the grave when we die. If we have never trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior, our soul goes to hell. And hell is a real place. So thirdly, dear friend, you must accept the fact that you're on the road to hell right now. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Hell is a very real place. Jesus Christ said it is a place of darkness, outer darkness. It is a place of gnashing of teeth. It is a place of a tormenting memory. It is a place of constant pain. Hell is a terrible place. Hell, dear friend, is bad news, and you should not want to go there. Hell is bad news, but I have good news for you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. He was speaking of himself. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins on the cross. He suffered, he bled, he shed his holy blood for your sins as the Lamb of God, and took away the sins of the world. He was buried and he rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and he will. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. For whosoever, that word whosoever means anybody at any time, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven to be with the Lord. And so, dear friend, if you're willing to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, to believe that he suffered and he bled and he died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose from the dead on the third day, pray with me a simple prayer called the sinner's prayer. And I assure you, based upon the word of God, that you'll be saved. And God will take it from there in your life. Don't you worry about a thing. He'll help you to grow and become the disciple that he wants you to be. For the Bible is very clear in Romans 10:9-13. Very clear. Ladies and gentlemen, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Pray with me right now. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I've done wrong in your sight. I have disobeyed your Ten Commandments. I have lied before. I have lusted after people and things. I have disobeyed and dishonored my parents. I have taken your holy name in vain. I've stolen things before. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace, Lord, upon me. And for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins, as I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered and bled and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose from the dead on the third day. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to turn from my evil ways and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, and you prayed that prayer and meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, you are now saved from hell, and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. Congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is our prayer.